Do you know how to change this on the fly? Why does someone keep changing our... I don't can't tell you how long this song is going to go because it's changed to elapsed. If I hit the time button. I don't want to stop the song. I think I just have to wait. And then I fix it. Someone did this yesterday too. It was changed.
No, but it might be because...
It's an MP3?
No, it might be because it can't tell how long it is.
Okay, how long do you want that song to play? Chad? When do you want this song to come down? Should I play the whole thing, or...?
The whole thing. It's only 2:47, I think.
Okay.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, New York, Greene County, Columbia County, and points from there. Broadcasted locally on 90.7 FM and globally online at WGXC.org. And I just wanted to say that was Meredith Monk's Urban March, Shadow. That's from the CD... from the NYFA collection, 25 years of New York new music from last year. Nice 5-disc collection. I say that because we have calling in today Michael Royce, who's the executive director of NYFA, the New York Foundation for the Arts. And in the studio today, we have Fawn Potash, a nice long description of artist, visual arts director at Greene County Council on the Arts, and project director for Masters on Main Street. Also Jan Grice, who's the board director of the CCCA, the Columbia County Council on the Arts. And also, lastly, Galen Joseph Hunter, who's the executive director of Free 103.9, which is also WGXC's parent organization. And I'm your host, Chad Weckler. Let's get involved with who we are. We're encompassing Greene County and Columbia County and also New York City and New York State. I'm going to ask Galen to talk about her involvements with Transmission Arts and WGXC and Free 103.9.
Hi, Chad.
Hi.
It's a lot of fun to be here as a guest. So yes, as Chad mentioned, I'm the executive director of Free 103.9, which is WGXC's parent organization. But I'll tell you a little bit about Free 103.9 for our listeners who may not know. We were founded as an artist collective in 1997 in South Williamsburg in Brooklyn. The artists involved at that time were interested in micro radio, very low power radio. They were doing micro radio transmissions and airing experimental music and fringe music shows, town meetings, spoken word, every kind of content you can think of, and giving some radio to a very localized area, a couple blocks, in a roaming mobile sort of way, as part of what was a nationwide movement where people were pushing for local communities' access to their own airwaves. Something that was interesting and exciting happening with 3.9's community as the years went on were that the community of artists who were engaging with the project started to conceive of micro radio and transmission in a more rigorous and conceptual manner. And rather than radio being simply a delivery device for audio content, they were really starting to think about it as an artistic and creative medium. What did it mean to transmit something to a receiver? What was that one-on-one relationship like of person sending a signal and someone being a listener? And what does the transmission spectrum hold beyond just conventional FM radio? So when we talk about transmission arts, which is what 3.9 morphed into cultivating as it became a nonprofit in 2002, we talk about the electromagnetic spectrum at large. So this includes broadcast media, which is all different types of radio, but also moving image broadcast and things such as light. So it's a pretty expansive umbrella. So 3.9 expanded activities up to Greene County in late 2004. We wanted to create an artist in residency program for transmission artists. We were really excited about bringing media artists who mostly would be coming from an urban setting into upstate New York. We acquired a 29-acre property that we called Wave Farm in the hamlet of Acre, which is in Carroll. And we started artist residencies. We've been building a library, we've done a performance series. And in about 2007, we learned of the opportunity coming up to start apply for a full power FM radio station. And that's where things led into WGXC. And I'm probably carrying on way too long. Just one other main program that 3.9 is interested in is that we act as a re-granting agency for the New York State Council for the Arts, which we have in common with your other two guests here. We provide re-granting specifically in partnership with the Electronic Media and Film Program at NISCA. I do want to mention that we have an upcoming deadline, which is October 31st, for our distribution grant, which is a funding opportunity for individual media artists in New York State to receive up to $10,000 to distribute or exhibit newly completed media-based projects. But we can talk more about any of that later on.
And actually, quite often I'm asked, what's WGXC stand for? And when it's explained, it's pretty darn simple, which is Green plus Columbia.
That's true.
GXC.
Yeah.
And speaking of Green and Columbia, Jan, why don't you introduce yourself and how you found yourself as director, board director there?
Well, I have a theater background as well as a planning and design background. I was with a theater company in Hudson for about 15 years, and I was called by one of the board members to see if I would be interested in joining, since I had theater experience, and that was one of the arts that they felt they were lacking in representation, and I said, yeah, I'd love to. And I guess it was a year that the president at that time resigned, and I was voted in as president. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, no surprise.
But yeah, that's my story, and I guess I'm sticking to it.
And for Columbia County, you represent the entire county, even though your office and headquarters are here in Hudson. What's basically, in a nutshell, how would you describe the CCCA?
Yeah, I think that's something that many people, especially in Hudson, don't recognize, that we are representing the whole county, and that we want to bring, you know, artists, visual, literary, performing artists, into our, you know, into our group and to try to help them in any way we can to show their work and show their talents. And that's why, like I said, I was brought on to fill a gap that they had. And in fact, I've been spearheading this summer a playwriting contest for students. And we have been reaching out to Columbia and all of the counties, including Greene, Dutchess, Ulster, up into Rensselaer. And the workshop that we had was pretty much represented by most of the counties when we had that back in May. Mm. That was a playwriting workshop for the students. And that is coming to an end. I think the deadline is this next weekend. So hopefully we'll have a lot of plays coming this week.
And those will be announced during Arts Walk.
Yes, yeah. The Arts Walk is being changed a little bit this year. The opening night reception is actually going to be on Saturday as opposed to Friday. Friday night we're doing a literary event at Art Oh My, and we'll have some art represented there. And then the reception for the members show at the Fair House in Chatham will be Saturday night, and we will announce those that will be at the Play Reading Festival on Sunday afternoon. So that should be a fun afternoon, not only for the students, but also we're hoping to have a reading by some professional actors as the finale of that.
Wonderful.
Of a play that I'm not quite ready to announce. But
that's okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, let's hop over the wide Hudson River to Fawn.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, thank you. So, explain, I see you're wearing a Masters on Main Street button. I love the Masters on Main Street. I'd love for you to talk about that program.
Well, it's, we launched in February of 2012, and the idea was to bring new energy to Main Street and Catskill by filling the vacant storefronts with artwork from studio art programs around the country. And it turned out that some of the active storefronts wanted to get involved too. So we have storefront displays in store windows, and then some of the empty stores have interior displays. So there are 20 sites, and to date, we have shown about 75 artists and representing maybe, I think, 18 schools around the country.
That's wonderful. And don't you have a studio tour happening soon?
Oh, yeah, which is a separate program. Hmm. So Masters on Main Street summer exhibitions are going to go through September 4th.
Wonderful.
And every Sunday, we have a walking salon led by artists and critics and curators and poets. And it's free. You stop by Open Studio at 402 Main Street, pick up your coffee and your bagel, and meet your co-saloniers, and walk and talk. And it's an informal chance to get to know each other and see the artwork. So then that Sunday series will end on September 4th. The following weekend is the Catskill Artist Studio Tour. And so that's September 10th and 11th.
Yes.
That's the I'd say that's the best of Catskill's artists. We have about 20 on the tour. Some of them two artists at one location. And you would pick up a map at the Greene County Council on the Arts in Catskill. And it's free. There's a preview party Friday, September 9th from 6 to 9 at the Arts Council's Catskill Gallery. And I'll have examples of each artist's work there at the preview party.
Wonderful. I believe we have Michael on the phone. And before we do, I'll sort of throw this subject matter in there. Free has been mentioned a couple of times already. Art, where you're making art available free for the public, which is not free for you to do. Funding, and we'll talk to Michael more about funding, but funding is very important to bring free programs, free expression, free art It's a art feeding art, I think, situation. And I, from my point of view, I want to thank all of these organizations for bringing a lot of programs to public and schools for free. So I think we're going to go to Michael Royce in Brooklyn, New York, calling in from his office. Michael, can you hear me? Hey, very good. How is it there in Brooklyn today? Well, good, and we're happy here too, and thank you for calling in. And something that I wanted to bring up in the very beginning, I don't know, of course you know your CD collection, and I did the Meredith Monk. And I was reading the liner notes of how this all came about in 1983. Can you sort of talk about NISCA, NYFA, and the programs that brought the CD to fruition? And I certainly want to promote, in 2008, I received a NYFA MART program for the Hudson Valley, and that was my first exposure to NYFA. And when they said, look at the NYFA.org website, it was like finding a pot of gold, not only for the SOS grants and the fellowships, but the artist opportunities, where artists are showing. In fact, through your sponsoring program, ArtSpire, that's where I saw Galen's free 103.9 program mentioned there. So it's both ArtSpire and NYFA are wonderful deposits of information.
Well, I should clarify that I'm not actually a user. I think what Chad's responding to is, I think some wonderful person at NYFA must have picked up the distribution grant and
mm-hmm.
put it on ArtsWire for your constituents. But, you know, what I can speak to is that 3103.9 in our most nascent moments was fiscally sponsored by NYFA. And that was so critical for us. We were sponsored for about 6 months while we secured our own 501c3. During that time, we received an NEA grant, all kinds of education about what it was going to be like to really be a nonprofit on our own. And I sing your phrases so often. Oh, I'm sorry. Was ArtsWire the name of the artist opportunities and job postings that you guys used to do? Yeah, that's... Sorry.
Michael, as I... ArtsWire is the sponsoring program for the Hudson Music Festival. And so when I'm getting donors to write a check and I say ArtsWire, it's a new word. That we're all learning, and darn it, we will learn that, along with NYFA, GCCA, and CCCA. And that's one of the things that throws me off is we're not saying NYFA to the GCCA, CCCA, WGXC. So I often, like WGXC, explain to people it's the New York Foundation for the Arts, and then boom, they get it.
Another thing that NYFA, I know, is so valuable for is your, because you do still keep the job listings, maybe not under that old name that I quoted incorrectly, but I know people both downstate and upstate really rely heavily on that really comprehensive listing of job opportunities in the arts that you guys do, so thanks so much for that.
And I would say a website for any arts organization is often difficult. How do you put the information up? How do you make it easy for people? I think artists are always asking themselves and other artists, how did you find out about that grant? How do I get into a gallery? I'm looking for a job in the arts. Where do I go? And I think we all struggle to make our websites better for that reason. And I think also thanks to NYFA and New York State, when you did your MARC program and it has continued, you created doctor's hours that you normally do in New York. So can you speak a little bit about the, which you wanted to go out, in fact the MARC program is not in New York City except for Long Island, but can you explain the MARC program and what you were trying to accomplish?
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Fawn, with your experiences of artists walking in the door, some artists are there for the first time, some have been artists for decades. What are you finding their questions?
The artists that I see vary in their professionalism from no professionalism to extreme professionalism. But I might get, I have a woman who comes in and shows me her work every week. She's, I would say, a naive artist. She brings the canvases themselves in a bag, and unannounced. And I know I love her work and I love her. But she would say, I would say that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is someone who sends me an email saying, I'd like to share my work with you at some point. Here's a link to my website, and here's my contact information. And then we make an appointment to see each other. And they send me JPEG files that are low resolution with their name and the title of the work and the medium in the file name. That's my pet peeve right there.
And NIFA is also part of their professional development is how do you label images that you are submitting?
Really important. I can't tell you how images that get separated from the original package, and they inevitably do, really need to have your name on. It's so simple, but it's true. There's another dovetail coming up, a big one. In spring of 2013, NIFA's fellowship winners and MARC graduates will be curated into a Masters on Main Street round of exhibitions. So we're looking forward to that in May of 2012.
Just around the corner. And both Greene County and Columbia County both have galleries that their members exhibit. And Jan, what's the show that just went up in Columbia County?
Food for Thought. It was a really exciting show. We had the opening last Saturday, which coincided with the Low Thirds gallery stroll. So it was packed until after 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. It was a very special show. And we had Max and Roy, the owners of Kamea, were the judges that chose the 50 pieces that we have up in the gallery. So that was fun as well.
Let me go to Galen. And one of the things as a programmer here at WGXC myself, I was educated to the transmission arts. I think a lot of people are now being, that discipline is being brought to the public. What have been, you just wrote a book about transmission arts, as you call it, a genealogy of the transmission arts. Can you talk about some of the challenges, probably could ask.
Challenges specific to the genre at large or with WGXC?
Informing people that there are transmission arts, and like you eloquently said in the beginning, what they were, is it hard to, besides if there was no WGXC?
Well, I mean, I think anytime you're dealing with a fringe genre in any area, then you have a lot of educating to do with your audience. We started using the term transmission arts back in around 2000, 2001, and there did seem to be this kind of global collective unconscious where that language was popping up in other places, in Canada, in Europe, in Asia. And I think people are really fond of it because it's broad and because it conveys this notion of communication. The transmission arts is a subgenre of media art, I would say. And the book project definitely was a big effort in terms of really asserting what the definition is and helping people to understand what it is we mean when we talk about transmission arts. In terms of transmission arts programming on WGXC, that happens late nights from midnight to 6 a.m. and all day on Saturdays, where we have a number of really terrific programs that are produced from all over the world and all over the country. country, as well as almost every Saturday we have a special guest, visiting artist in the studio being interviewed, doing something live, and that's been a vehicle too to help people wrap their minds around what we're talking about.
Michael, wouldn't you agree that the visual arts get basically all the attention or most of it? And through your fellowships, you do a 3-year rotation of different disciplines? Well, there's 15 right there. I mean, that's pretty impressive, I must say. And I know everybody here is also trying to bring in more performance art, more literary arts. Everybody needs a voice, and I think certainly the organizations do their best and encourage questions about how can I show graffiti art, or how, you know, I play a saxophone, is that art? I write poems. I'll come back to Greene and Columbia County. What are your challenges to bring more varying disciplines of art to the counties?
This is Fawn speaking. One of my hats is as gallery director for the Greene County Council on the Arts. And all of the exhibitions I plan for the coming months are in trying to do a little cross-pollination between the media and the genres. So in a recent exhibition called Bing Bang Boing, it was artists, musicians who had invented their own instruments. So it brought in an audience of visual artists, but also an audience of music appreciators and people interested in experimental forms as well. So it enlarged our audience and our participation, and it involved 4 concerts, you know, in addition to the exhibition. It was really successful in involving more people.
And Jan, you spoke about the writing aspect and bringing the youth, and I think we're all working at trying to bring in youth into professional art disciplines. What else is the CCCA doing at this point?
Well, as far as the performing arts, this will be the first time during Arts Walk that we will have some performance art, especially on the Sunday of the Play Reading Festival, because we plan to have some music, and of course the play readings of those plays by the students. We have a very special play that we're going to start the program off with by first graders at John L. Edwards here in Hudson.
Wonderful.
And then we're hoping, as I mentioned earlier, to have a professional reading of a play by, you know, professional and semi-professional actors as the final piece. So, you know, it's a start. It's tough. I think it's a lot easier if you have a gallery and, you know, you send out calls for art of, you know, specific show names, and because we have so many wonderful, you know, visual artists in the area, and they're eager to send things for us to put on our walls, and we had 50 pieces in the gallery, and we had close to 130 submissions.
Wonderful.
So we, you know, had to turn some people away. In fact, we weren't quite sure how we were going to get 50 pieces in our gallery, but it actually turned out to be a beautiful show, and we're really pleased with it. So I'm hoping, with my background, to bring more and more performance art. We have David Keane, who is, you know, chairman of our literary arts committee, and he has worked he's just an incredible, hard-working individual.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're having this year for the first time in Basilica a big reception to meet the literary artist from not only this year's Arts Walk, but the last couple of years. So it's going to be something, a very special evening, that a fundraiser. It's going to replace Eat for Art, but it should be a really exciting evening at the Basilica. And that is the 1st of October, a week before the opening of Arts Walk.
and you're listening to Jan Grice, who's a board member of the Columbia County Council on the Arts. And Fawn, give us your name again, your positions. Where the Catskill Gallery is.
Oh, Catskill Gallery is on 398 Main Street in Catskill. And I wanted to say that one of the ways that the Greene County Council on the Arts ensures that there is attention to the other art forms in our region is through its community art grants. And we administer New York State Council for the Arts funding for both Columbia County and for Greene County. And there are several kinds of grants. One is to our major arts organizations, and one is to community organizations like a chorus or a Ukrainian folk festival, or so that's arts and cultural. So if someone was producing a play, they might apply to the Arts Council for a grant to support the production of the play.
And this is also NISCA funds, isn't it?
It's re-granting NISCA funds to organizations. And then we also have an individual artist grant fund, one for an artist in Greene County and one for an artist in Columbia County, an annual award.
And maybe we can also make mention of the major organizations grants you mentioned, Fawn, which is through the Greene County Legislature, who we should acknowledge and thank.
Yes.
Yes. And since WGXE and 3103.9 is a recipient of one of those.
And I encourage our listeners and all artists to look at the websites of the GCCA and CCA, because there are workshops going on right now for those grants, and I think determinations of those happen in October, I believe. So
there's workshops going on now.
Yep, right now in both Greene and Columbia County. Galen, why don't you introduce yourself one more time?
This is Galen Joseph Hunter. I'm executive director of 3103.9, an organization focused on cultivating transmission art, and the parent organization to WGXE, which is itself a sort of wild experiment in transmission.
And that's what you're listening to right now. And Michael, what's going on there? I've never been to your Brooklyn office before. Explain what I would be seeing if I was going on a tour at NYFA.
Well,
As a reader of your blog, you recently made a trip to Berlin. How would you describe the art scene in Berlin compared to what you know here in New York?
I
Well, would you say an artist in Berlin could learn something from an artist in New York and vice versa? And what do you think that might be because of the different cultures? Have you been anywhere else in the country that you'd like to point out where there's an interesting trend in art, or someone's doing something in the field of art that we all might learn from? What takes up most of your time? Yeah. And I would say that's probably both for the organizations here in the room, probably the same thing is raising funds to do all the good things that you all do.
Definitely.
I spend a lot of time with that.
Jan, what do you find when you're looking for funds and you know, being out in the community? Some funds come from local governments and state governments and federal governments, but it comes from memberships.
Definitely from memberships. We have quite a few people in the area that have been extremely generous in helping to fill that void that came about as funds have been, cut away from the governmental agencies. We are, obviously, like everyone else, we're way down on the totem pole when it comes to getting money from the government. But we're happy with the grants that we are able to get from different organizations, from the banks, and like in the places like Taconic, the Berkshire Taconic Foundation, Hudson River Bank and Trust Foundation, those kinds of people have been extremely generous, and we hope that they continue to love us as much as we love them and fun from them.
Yeah, we have local municipalities that help support us. The county supports us in part. New York State Council, we get funding from them for general operating. And we've experienced cuts in those departments, but it's been offset by a group of philanthropists who've come to the Council on the Arts to start this new Masters on Main Street project.
And I'll ask Michael first and bring it back to the group. Why should we fund the arts, Michael? There's a hard question. I would say it promotes democracy, it promotes social advancement. Galen, what's been your experiences?
Well, I just think WGXC so well embodies all of these characteristics of the arts, and this is why a community radio station is something that a media arts organization decided to embrace as one of our main programs and a very very costly program. You know, I didn't speak to the funding specifics when we were going around earlier, but the radio station is almost our most expensive program, and we rely heavily on our listenership to help us make ends meet. It's a community-supported station. In fact, we're going to have a little mini pledge drive starting next Monday to help us make it through the next few months.
I think the community is just now realizing the platform that WGXC is. NIFA has been involved in a long time, CCCA and GCCA as a platform. WGXC is offering the community a voice, which personally I think is an art form in itself.
And something positive that comes out of these economic downturns, I think both in what artists are doing themselves and what arts organizations do, is this consortium building, this partnership. I mean, I think if you look through our nation's history, it's in scary economic and political times that you see some really exciting and very provocative and important work coming from artists and artist collectives. And I think too, we find, even just looking locally here, all kinds of partnerships and projects that are being produced by organizations that may not have a history of collaboration, but out of necessity start to open those doors. And so we can look for some silver linings. I think those might be a few.
Well, I would almost say because of the economic downturn, artists themselves are actually talking to other artists more than they used to do. Sharing a lot of their passions and secrets, how you make something, and the organizations are doing this also in workshops, and I think it's been a good thing, this collaboration partnerships that have been created, not only with artists themselves, but arts and organizations with other organizations. I mean, Michael, when you explain to a possible funder or someone who's, you're going to them again, you've already done a wonderful job talking about the arts and how important it is. How do you convince someone to spend more money? You often, I'm sure, get that aha moment from some people when you explain that. That there is art around all of us, and we are capable of making art. And when you often can point that out, there is that aha. So this is art. I didn't know that. I can, you mean my doodle or my singing, my poetry, that's art. And when someone actually can appreciate that, and I think that's one of the things that we all try and do, is to appreciate and tell people that's wonderful, to be positively critical about art in general, and also someone's expression of art. You don't want to crush someone's dream because art is subjective. So I like to be open. I never want to tell somebody it's terrible or have someone tell me my artwork is terrible, although I can take it. And Michael, what's coming up for NIFA? Anything new and interesting that we might not know about? I actually, I'm looking at Fawn and Jan. I want to convince them to join, collaborate with NYFA, and maybe have a little NYFA link on your websites as one of your services to your memberships.
That's a great idea.
Yes, that'd be great. Incidentally, would you like to have our website?
Yes, absolutely.
That's www.artscolumbia.org.
And ours is greenarts.org. And green is spelled G-R-E-E-N-E-A-R-T-S.
And Galen's got a few of them.
That's true. 310-3.9 is FREE103POINT9.org, or maybe WGXC.org is easier, and also transmissionartsplural.org will get you to our Transmission Arts Archive.
And and one of my own personal experience, an artist really needs to go back to a website often. The learning curve for me personally is a long curve. Not be afraid of a NYFA site or a WGX site or one of the counties here. Keep going back, see what's new, sign up for everybody's newsletters. I get everybody here on my computer, and thankfully on that darn smartphone, which I think is also one of the great opportunities. When we talk about showing art or hearing art, is the smartphone, the tablet, the laptop computer. Instantly, now we're sharing our art forms. We carry it with us. We don't no longer. If you don't want to sing, you don't want to recite a poem that you've done, show your portfolio, you can actually carry it with you and transmit it. I'm just amazed by technology today, of what artists can do to share their work. And all of us have websites along with those links, and I encourage all our listeners to sign up for everybody's newsletters. You'll get these bulletins. And Galen did mention today that we're doing a little mini fun drive next week. We're celebrating the musical arts and artists here in Greene and Columbia County next week. We are fortunate to have a lot of rich art base here, not all, in all of the art forms. And I personally love that Bing Bang Bong.
Oh, thanks.
Talk a little bit more about that, since we've got about another minute or so.
Well, it was just a really fun show, and we recorded a couple of the concerts, and I'll have them ready for rebroadcasting on radio and by the end of this week, if there's ever a time slot for that.
There will be, I'm
sure.
I hope
so. But I did want to talk about a few other programs that the Arts Council
runs.
Please,
please.
One is a bi-monthly publication called Arts Alive. And it is a listing of arts and cultural information. And the other one is a youth arts program called Sprouts, which is a summer arts camp for 3 to 6 year olds. And that's just concluding for this summer, but that's free every summer for kids in all the school districts of Greene County. Also, we have an arts and ed program that places artists in the schools to work with teachers in curriculum-based arts projects.
For both the Greene and Columbia County, how many members do each of you have in your organizations?
I would have to check. I don't know how many. I know it's.
Isn't it like close to 600, 700, 800 people thereabouts in total?
Thereabouts, maybe closer to 500.
And Fawn, what do you think for Greene County?
I'm going to have to guess 1,200 or more, I'm sure.
And both of you actually share members. Myself, I'm a member of both of your organizations.
Oh, right. Yeah. There's at a reduced rate. You could join both.
Mm-hmm.
And Galen, how many people are members of WGXC?
Oh, goodness. That is a great question. We haven't tallied recently. I'm going to guess that we're probably in the 600 ranges now. We think our listenership is in 4,000 to 5,000.
That's wonderful. And Michael, you don't have memberships, do you? There are benefits for having a membership. You're involved in your own organization. You're supporting them in a financial way. And in Michael's case, I mean, you have sort of the world as your membership in a way. And I'll take this opportunity, since we're wrapping up, to thank Michael Royce, Von Potash, Jan Grice, and Galen Joseph Hunter. And thank you all for listening to The Art of the Hudson Valley. It's been a wonderful hour. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for everybody here in the studio. And I'll see you in a month on my next program.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
G. Yeah. This is Latitude.